Jean Gris, we're going to go to you with story number four, Jean. This piece is coming out of the real deal. I'll read you the headline, I'll read you the first couple of graphs, and I want you to comment, Jean. Here we go. Kushner picks up the Stress Surfside site from Bulma Green and Lender. Subhead, Kushner worked with seller Infuse Group to arrange a $40 million deal. Anybody doesn't know what Bulma Green is a, basically it's an entity that began investing here in a big way during prior to the Great Recession when we had our run-up. Bulma Green came down here. They were then working. A lot of people knew them as Africa Israel. They bought up a bunch of dirt. Market went to shit. They ended up only putting up one tower called the Marquee in Greater Downtown Miami and Biscayne Boulevard. Basically gave up everything else. Crescent Heights, which is a big investment group down here. They do a lot of rentals. They bought most of the portfolio, and their Crescent Heights is now building a tower on the former Africa Israel / Bulma Green site, which is right there at the tip of South Beach at 5th and Alden. So just a little bit of background. So Jean, going back to the piece, Subhead, Kushner worked with seller Infuse Group to arrange $40 million deal. And here's the first couple graphs. Kushner companies paid $40 million for a distressed development site in Surfside, sources told the real deal. New York-based Kushner worked with the seller, Shayev Bulma Green, and the lender, Fuse Group, to assume the debt and buy the property at 9300 Talens Avenue. The deal closed on Tuesday afternoon, the sources said. Kushner, led by Charles Kushner, his daughter Nicole Kushner-Meyer, and Laurent Morali, plan a luxury rental development. The vacant property is zoned for about 100 units, a maximum building height of about 3 stories. Kushner could not be immediately reached for comment. Bulma Green's Eden Surfside LLC sold a 2.9-acre site, which is on the west side of Collins Avenue. The non-waterfront property faces the Fendi Chateau residences. For anybody who kind of knows that area. Jean, is this the beginning of the distressed real estate market?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little misleading to say it was distressed. The seller had purchased it for what, $25 million?
$26.5 million, according to the story.
And they sold it for $40 million. I mean, I'm not quite sure why you would call that a distressed sale. I mean, and a lot of money for just under 3 acres, right? And you can only build 100 units on there. So I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions. It didn't seem like a distressed sale to me.
Yep.
Maybe the seller is distressed in other ways that we don't know. there's probably a backstory to that, which I have no idea. But the other question I had was, how deep is the luxury market? I mean, this is just yet another luxury rental or luxury residential developments. And maybe after listening to what Oshrat said a little earlier, maybe there is a market for the yet to be arrived new residence. But I'm just curious how deep the market is for luxury rentals. And certainly, if you're going to pay those kinds of prices, I mean, you know, they're going to have to charge quite a bit. So there's going to have to be, this better be a nice place.
No. Jean, let me ask you a follow-up question. Legislation went into effect in July called Live Local Act. Basically, if 40% of the units are earmarked for affordable housing of some sort, a developer is able to build to the height of within a radius of a mile in terms of the tallest and maximum density. Jean, can you see, based on this purchase price, can you see anything tied to Live Local Act there, given the fact that the property is not waterfront? It's located effectively between two main streets. I'd almost call it like a median, if you will. It's kind of in the middle. If you're on the Florida Turnpike, you pull off to get some gas, you use the restroom, you get something to eat, and then you continue on. That's kind of what this location's like from an unauthorized podcast perspective. So do you see Live Local Act involved?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, I think 40% of the units would have to be reserved for affordable housing, which is a test on the average income in the area, right? And affordable housing in Miami Beach would be, let's say a lot more expensive than affordable housing, say in Kendall or somewhere else. It seems to me that we're sort of the end of the cycle. With interest rates being where they are, the building, the residential boom has, lasted a pretty long time. And I would say we're a little closer to the end than we are at the beginning. And I'm still puzzled why developers are making these kinds of bets on the market, given this, you know, where we are in the cycle, especially with real estate, with interest rates, and the prospects of a slowing economy.
Interesting. I'm wondering if you have any comments, because you know, you've spoken to some developers and some investors who are very bullish on the area.
The general take that I get is bullishness. I mean, I think a lot of the folks who are buying, I mean, whether the market is there or not, but I think that this market is done almost entirely in cash, right? So mortgage rates are at this point irrelevant. That's what I keep hearing, is a sort of bullishness. I haven't seen the site, but at some point, right? I mean, Aaron, the music does stop everywhere. I'm relatively new here, but I wrote about this in New York, where it just became one luxury condo after another. And for a while, it really felt like the demand was insatiable, because you had this global market. And at some point, there were just too many. Don't know when that time is, but I imagine we'll know. I imagine it's coming at some point.